Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Talk Show. Today, we're going to be reacting to some Joe Rogan videos about the Catholic Church.
Yeah, Joe Rogan is the most popular podcaster in the world, but he has had some pretty controversial takes on the Catholic Church, and we're going to listen and respond to them so you don't have to.
All right, let's get started, Joey. All right, so we got a list. So I guess you got some videos queued up for us here.
I do. Now, I'm going to say that I enjoy listening to Joe Rogan. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's done a lot for the podcasting, just the whole podcasting world. I think he's set a lot of cast. I don't think he's a bad guy either. I think he's probably, you know, and I think he's a very intelligent man too. That being said, I think somewhere in his past, he was pretty hurt by someone in his family and related to the church. So he has some pretty bad takes on the Catholic
and
Church.
And it's visibly there when he talks about it.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll get into some of the things that are being said, but I think all in all, like, the wounds really just come out with them.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because the church has wounded so many people.
Sure.
You know, and there's a lot of people that think like that. And, you know, it's a very difficult situation to bring them back.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes Joe Rogan talking about the church sounds like listening to your buddy's older stoner brother talk about the church and like, no, man, it's all this and that. Like, it just kind of feels like that a little bit, just kind of like,
man,
uninformed views that are very, very, you know,
laced with
venom
anger.
So now, before we get into it, I just want to tell you, you can go to catholictalkshow.com and there you can subscribe to us on every platform. You can follow us on all the social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, now known as X, and TikTok. Or you can, if you're watching right now on YouTube, make sure you go down there and click that like button and that subscribe button. That's one of the best ways that you can help us in our ministry and help us grow and reach more people. Also, if you want to support the show and help us to grow that way, you can go to catholictalkshow.com/Patreon. There you can find all the different ways that you can support us, all the different tiers. So anywhere from just a couple bucks to something more generous. And in our gratitude, we have a lot of great gifts that we will give back to you as you join those tiers. So go to catholictalkshow.com/Patreon. All right, so let's dig into Joe. Now, again, I don't want to bash Joe Rogan. I like Joe Rogan. I listen to a lot of his episodes.
I think even in a broader sense, he's done a lot for humanity.
Sure.
By having open forum discussions about things that people
100%
care about.
Yeah.
And literally, you know, not intentionally, but combating the media and what they know is, you know, media that tries to control narratives and situations for whatever it is that their agenda is. So good for him.
Yeah. But, you know, like, we're going to talk about things that he's talked about the church. Now, this first one's him talking about Catholic schools. Now, Catholic schools, I think, is one of the most pivotal things besides my parents and my grandparents that ever happened to me. They are such an important factor and such a beneficial thing that happened to me. I would not be the man I am today without them. But so here's his take. This clip is called Joe Rogan, Catholic Schools Terrified Me. So let's take a listen to this.
Okay.
Do you go to Mass on Christmas?
No.
No Mass at all?
I go to Willy Wonka's Golden Chocolate Factory.
What?
No, it's all nonsense, man. Yeah. Why would I do that?
I don't know. I'm just asking. Tradition, because you grew up that way.
No, I never grew up that way.
You didn't?
I went to Catholic church when
you were a kid?
Yeah, we did, but it was for a very short amount of time. To say I grew up that way would be hard because I was out by the time I was out of first grade.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about putting me back in for second grade, but we moved from New Jersey to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't find a Catholic school. And it's, you know, Catholic schools cost money, too. You know?
Right.
Went to public school after that. But I was just done. I hated it.
Yeah.
I was in fear of those crazy people.
And your parents didn't take you to church or make you go to
church? They did a little bit. I think the idea was back then that if you had kids, you wanted your kids to go to Catholic school. You know,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of people that did that in that neighborhood when
right.
I was little. It was just a normal thing you did.
Yeah.
And they were more strict. And, dude, one thing that was for sure, though, like, I had a conversation with my mom about it once. She was like, you know, your grades were way better when you went in your Catholic school. And I was like, yeah, because it was terrified to get them wrong.
They beat the out of
you. I don't want to live like that. They never beat me.
No.
But they definitely threatened me.
Really?
Yeah, they threatened me.
All right. What are you hearing there?
I don't really have a thought on it.
Dude, you were in first grade and you made up your mind not to go to the Catholic Church? Come on. You're 7 years old, 6 years old? Dude, no, you didn't.
Yeah, you don't really do stuff like that.
You were able to grasp theological concepts and you were able to say, I've made a decision not to go to a Catholic school at 7 years old. Like,
yeah, I'm thinking about my daughter Maria in the first grade. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I don't think we're having those conversations at all.
You know, and then, you know, he was scared. Well, what were we scared of? I went to Catholic school. Do you think there's any more scary than a public school?
Right.
No. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think Catholic schools are, you know, every experience has been safe, open, honest, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but he's like right there, like, well, you know, I think a lot of people went to Catholic schools and that was a tradition, but his family didn't really do that, a little bit here and there. So you can see that maybe there was like a little remnant of cultural Catholicism in his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got maybe a warped view of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, I mean, I guess if he's making up stuff about being in the first grade like that, there's probably something else there.
Dude, I could barely tie my shoes in the first grade, let alone grasp, you know, theological systems and whether or not I accept them or reject them.
Yeah. And then like he wasn't beaten or anything. Like my dad, when he went, like they'd crank your knuckles with a, you know, the sisters would crank your knuckles.
No.
He never had any problem with it.
Yeah, you're fine.
He never left the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see what else he has to say.
Really?
Here. Yeah. They threatened to make me sit on a nail. You're gonna have to
they threatened to sit on a nail? No, they didn't.
In a closet.
In a closet? No, they didn't.
I hope you brought your blanket. They're like really mean. When you're like a little 6-year-old kid, like that's it's just a weird feeling to be stuck with these people for 9 months. And to also
9 months. He's able to assess the whole worldview of Catholic schools in 9 months.
As a first grader.
And yeah, as a first grader. And even then, he admits that his grades were better there.
My parents were splitting up at the time.
Oh, his parents were splitting up at the time.
Yeah, that's...
So then maybe there's a little trauma there, right?
Lots of trauma.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
And then I wanted things to have order to them. So I wanted God to make sense.
Like, uh-huh.
I remember annoying people with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm like 6 years old.
What do you mean?
I'd annoy people talking about what God wants.
What do you mean? Like you would...
God says this. God wants that. Like I would say that.
Oh, you would bug...
Like 6 years old. Yeah.
Right.
Because I was a little kid who was dealing with my parents splitting up, and there didn't seem to be any order in the world. And I was...
Wow. Mm. That's a pretty bold admission. You know, that's vulnerable.
Well, I mean, it's even like, even as a young kid to experience a disorder like that, to just uniquely be attuned to the order of the mother and the father.
Yeah, and missing
and
that.
To experience
and then trying to surrogate that.
Yeah. Like that, I mean, I think that, you know, for a young kid, we're talking about, you know, his grades and what he's learning and all this. That's definitely the source there.
Yeah, so he went to Catholic school for 9 months when he was 6 years old while his parents were getting divorced. And probably a lot of the negativity of that time and the not making sense of going on and wanting God to fix it and not having it has got to have ultimately affected him pretty deeply. So, I mean, I feel a lot of sympathy for this. You know, that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking a little baby Joe Rogan. I'm thinking, oh, poor kid. You know, that sucks.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And I know his relationship with his father is really, really, really negative, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, from listening to him. So that's.
Oh, wow.
When I see this, I don't see facts. I don't see anything that's true about the negative things that he's saying. I just see someone who got hurt pretty bad.
Some experience, yeah.
I was very nervous, right? So when I went to Catholic school, when I first got there, I was happy that I was going to go to Catholic school. But then as I experienced it, at 6 years old, I started going, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense. I'm like, first of all, these people are so mean. They're obviously being mean and nasty. They're not comforting and loving.
Right.
And I was thinking,
they're not comforting and loving. So he was wanting for comfort and love. Mm. He was lacking something and didn't get it. So he ascribed to them malice.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is he's an adult sort of looking back, you know, on it. So, you know, what is mean?
Yeah.
Back then, you know, I mean, is it like
sit down and quit making noise? Oh, they were terrible to me.
Yeah, you know, like I mean, like I've got some of my kids say that too. Like you know, I'm punishing them, or you know, I mean, so there's no real like examples of like this, you know, sitting on a nail, like whatever, you know. But like, Definitely is the divorce. Definitely is impacting this.
6-year-old yeah. comparing them to the way like my grandma was or my mother was. Like these ladies are nasty.
Right.
Like, why are they being so mean? And I'm like, they don't represent God. And I was like, this is crazy.
Wow. At
and
six.
And then you could see kids getting in trouble because like their parents hadn't paid for their lunch or this kind of, and there was like this really, you tell your father to get that money in. Like there was a right. this weirdness to it that just didn't seem loving or. It didn't seem like what I thought of when I thought of, you know, Christ and when I thought of,
right.
it seemed to me like, oh no, this is a dark little trap.
What? A dark little trap.
Well, I don't know. Pay your lunch bill, number one. But I mean, I know for a fact that if there's kids who can't pay for the lunch at a Catholic school, that is 100% going to be covered in every program, you know. But yeah, I feel bad for him. It sounds like he was going through a rough time as a kid. And
yeah, I mean, that was only 9 months.
Yeah. 9 months and it just damages his worldview.
And so probably the most traumatic experience of his life.
His parents happening. Divorcing.
Yeah.
A formative thing, yeah.
Yeah, and him wanting love and order and...
And not being able to find it there and expecting to find it there.
Expecting to find it in the people.
In the people.
Because the people harmed him.
Yeah.
His father harmed him.
That's right.
Mother, whatever.
That's pretty rough.
And then so you're looking at people to bring that warmth, that love, that unity, and you just...
And it wasn't there. Yeah. So you had like this. That's one of the most dangerous things is expectations, right? You expect somebody to fulfill something in you. You expect somebody to solve something for you. That rarely happens. Yeah. All of your internal emotions really are going to be controlled by yourself. And when you expect somebody to fill a piece in you, you're putting an expectation on that almost no one can ever fill.
But I mean, as a child, it's so innate to them that you really can't navigate around it. Right. You can't navigate. I mean, ultimately, your parents are going to fail you. They have failed you. You will experience failure in your life with other people. The, you know, part of the path and the journey to the unity you have with Christ is, you know, he mentions the spirit of adoption. Mm-hmm. Like this is a part of his spirit, the Holy Spirit, spirit of adoption. Like understanding that when you turn to him, that all these other things begin to take their proper place. You see that you see your parents as sinners. You see other people as sinners. You move beyond that into the realm of Christ. The guy I'm following was the product of torture and sin,
sure,
to the point of death, so that he could lead the way for us to find consolation with him. You know.
Yep. So that was this clip on Catholic school. So let's get into another clip here. This one, let's see what he has to say here. This is Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan,
the only people in society,
roasts Catholic priests. So this is a little short here. Let's see what he has to say here.
They're the only people in society that are allowed to dress like wizards. And we're like, yeah, that's how Father dresses. Father dresses like a wizard. People are going to look back at that and go, why didn't they think the outfits were weird? Why didn't they think it was silly that this pedophile dresses up like a wizard and you're not supposed to say anything to him? They're the only people.
Okay.
That's a lot of anger.
That's a lot of anger.
Yeah. Now,
dressing like a wizard, I'm sorry. It's cool.
Yeah.
Dressing like a wizard's cool. And if you can get away with it, Joe, you'd do it too.
A lot of other people get away with it and do it.
Yeah.
There's this thing called Harry Potter.
Right.
I don't know if you ever recalled that movie.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most wildly popular books.
I will say that Catholic priests do have one of the wildest work uniforms out there still.
Oh, yeah.
But that's part of the. That's part of it. That's part of the. That's the good part of it. So dressing like wizards, I think that's kind of funny. It's a funny comment.
It is. Well, but he calls them all pedophiles,
right? But that's ridiculous.
I mean, and especially as balanced as he is in other topics,
sure,
to navigate through truth, to make a broad generalized statement about all
that's
of
a good
priests,
point.
Like that's not him.
Yeah,
he doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that with any other topic.
He doesn't
that
do
I've
it
heard.
With any other topic.
Yeah.
So, you know, angry pedophiles,
yeah,
like when this pedophile thing was going on, that was one of the drivers of me going to the seminary.
Yeah.
Like to just
get in there and have a good,
it's just like God deserves more.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to give him more. And I was angry. So, you know, but I didn't lose my faith. I didn't, he never had it. He never really was nurtured towards it, but this kind of like opens up, like, you know, he's probably just angry, you know, that priests do that.
Well, then he should be. I mean, priests doing that is a disgusting violation of trust and everything that's good and holy. But if you look at the rates of sexual abuse in Protestant churches, in children's athletics, in public schools, those rates are higher in any of those. And the highest rate of sexual offenses within family members.
Yeah. I mean, so, the reality is sexual predators upon children are, there's just so much evil that they find any place to go do it.
Sure.
Right? So, and all the studies came out. We already know all that stuff. Now it's just, I guess with him talking about it, it's there's just still anger there. And he's not looking at this from like the forest view.
Yeah.
It's just like, this one guy did it, so they're all like this.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what this one is.
Different theories, but nobody really knows. But soma was obviously something that they were taking as a sacrament that would have these profound effects. That's most likely the root of all of these crazy religious experiences. These people were tripping their and they weren't lying. Like, God did come to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God did come to them out of the burning bush and spoke to them. And that's the other thing, the burning bush. They think that these scholars in Jerusalem think that the burning bush is probably the acacia bush, which is rich in DMT.
Oh.
So that's probably this why blames everything this is on DMT. The metaphor, right? The burning bush, and God spoke to them in the burning bush. That's probably what it really means. They were tripping, but they were smoking it, tripping balls, and they met God, and he came back with, this is the only way we're going to get along. We've got to stop raping each other.
Oh, that's not fair to do to him.
Well, I mean,
that's like, oh. So God is people through DMT and...
Have you ever... I'm sure you've been around people who are really deep into weed culture.
Yeah.
And everything goes back to weed. Like, did you know that the founding fathers separated because they smoked weed and they wanted to get away from England? Did you know that the Pope wears red because he smokes weed? Did you know that the Aztecs, the reason they built temples was to smoke weed? Like, when you are in that culture, you ascribe everything to it. And Joe Rogan is big into DMT.
He's definitely in that
in psychedelics,
Yeah, DMT, psychedelics.
Yeah, this is stoner theology.
Yeah, and it's so funny. It's just like the first 30 popes were martyred, there's 33 whatever, you know, and then this 300 years of persecution, kids, children dying for this faith that came to them and this life they had in Christ, like that was more important than their life themselves. And so now we're to think that God came to them with like some DMT and then all of a sudden it was okay to die like that? Or
so there's a couple
sacrament, even use the word sacrament. Yeah,
there's a couple presumptions here that ancient people were stupid. That ancient people are like, and then they are like, smoke weed, and then, I don't know what's going on. You think these people didn't know how to get high? You think these people didn't know how to get drunk? You think these people had more knowledge of botanicals and what was around them than anybody around today?
Yeah.
So to think that they were just like, I don't know, we were burning, we're burning a book. Bush, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like we were smoking like we were in the sixth grade back then.
Yeah, you know, like back when I was in, you know, a 6 year old in first grade at Catholic school, I smoked weed and I saw God. Like, no. So this is again such a stretch for somebody who's so usually truth oriented, fact finding or seeking. Right. Mm-hmm. When it comes to religion, all of his best principles and his best practices go out the window.
Right.
So no, Moses was not. The burning bush was not an acacia plant that happens to be high in DMT. If the acacia bush was high in DMT, everyone would be smoking it right now. People are always going to look for a way to get high. So, and then he just says, a scholar in Jerusalem. It's so easy on the internet to just say, they say.
A scholar.
They say, a scholar says. That is, and
that's
then when
so
you have,
stoner theology. Like
it
that.
Is, and then when you have an audience that big, and you say, they say, and then people take it as fact, you got a lot of people out there think Moses didn't have experienced anything, and then he got high. What? So then he was high for what? How long? 5 years? 40 years in the desert? Like, what kind of weed is he smoking?
You really think these people listen to that, and they're like, yeah.
Yes. Yes, they really? Do, Ryan, 100%.
Oh, wow.
People will hear this, and they'll be like, yeah, dude, that makes sense, you know? Yeah, I mean, I bet Moses is out there, you know, doing bong rips and that, and yeah, religion's all a lie. It's just people getting high.
I wonder how many people did DMT because of him and screwed themselves up.
So many people started DMT because he, you know, espoused it. So many people eat elk meat or drink Buffalo Trace because of him. Buffalo Trace was just, you know, regular old bourbon until he started pushing it, and now you can't find it on the shelves.
I just bought a bottle a couple weeks ago.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of power that something like that has. So when you use it irresponsibly and use it unfactually like this, it could really be a, I don't know, I think a dangerous thing. All right, so here's another one. Let's see.
You know, man, it's like even what's going on with the Pope just recently said there's no hell, and everybody went crazy. Like, what? What did he just say? The Pope said there's no hell. He's slowly bracing you for the fact that all this is nonsense. But right now, we're going to give it a hell. Dude. Like, this is like one of the purest examples of like the change in people's attitude towards religion.
Is this real?
Yep, yep. It
says the Vatican denies that.
What?
Yeah.
The Vatican did not say there is no hell. We'll find out an article where it says he did say that.
We'll find out somewhere where it does support what I'm saying.
50%. He's not going to
cut it. Go back in time and find an article where he did say it. Because I guarantee you he did say it. And let's just assume that one day they're... See, this is what they do. They say it a little bit, and then they take it back.
See, okay. See what he's doing right here? He just tried to assert something. Couldn't find facts to say it. Say, but here's what they do. They do that on purpose.
Yeah, like you really following the Catholic Church all over the place.
Yeah, that's how easy
he's this is. He's a perfect example of somebody who reads, like, storylines.
Right.
And because it's the Catholic Church, he's like, yeah, they're mostly bad anyways.
So he's just like,
yeah, that's still going on
That's
there.
What it is. I'm full Eddie Bravo right now.
Yeah, Eddie Bravo is whack. Yeah.
Dude, this is how they set it up. They start out with, they tell you hell's not real. And then they say, we never said that. And then a year from now, they say, look, we're pretty sure hell's not real.
This probably plays Fortnite. He's like, right.
He's the cool Pope.
The Pope plays Fortnite.
He doesn't have the Pope mobile.
He's got his Kanye's
I like how
arm.
Everyone says cool Pope Francis is the cool Pope when he says stuff that suits their tickling ears, too. You know?
Kanye's
on.
He's the cool Pope.
He is the cool Pope. He got rid of the throne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had a big, giant, crazy-ass throne for the last guy, the Creeper.
He's got a gamer chair now.
Like one of those racing chairs with the headphones by your ears.
I just got one of those.
It's Pope weird. Francis in the house. Pope Francis has no problem with gay people either.
Pope Francis fighting with Yoliter kid.
Yeah, see, look how he swat. look at the old throne versus the new throne. Look at the two side to side. The guy on the left is the guy they just kicked out for crimes against humanity.
You hear this?
Yeah.
They kicked Benedict out for crimes against humanity.
This guy is just like, at this point, just... ripping everything.
The guy on the right is the new guy who's just got a sensible chair.
Yeah,
the throne is creepy, man. That is crazy. And he dresses much more conservatively, too.
He's
not wearing crazy wizard robes.
It's the throne of God.
He's wearing like a one-color wizard robe.
He dresses like R. Kelly on a Sunday.
He still has to dress crazy. Like if he came out in like a polo shirt and a pair of jeans... No, right? No. Everybody like, hey, you can't be the Pope without the magic outfit. Where's your fish head hat? Come on, bro.
He's got body armor on.
He's got a hat on like a golden salmon that's coming out of the top of his head. Like, show me that hat. Look at this hat. This hat is preposterous.
It's ridiculous.
That's like a monster. It's a mouth of a monster.
See, but
like a giant snake.
It looks like a napkin at a restaurant when you go there and it's sitting on...
Oh, and it's nicely done inside one of those little rings?
Yeah. he probably put it on by mistake. Like, he's just like, look at me.
I can't believe they're making fun of our Holy Father. This show sucks. You're making fun of our Holy Father.
That's me. You're right, Joe. You can anticipate your audience here exactly, because that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
They're just making fun, but then it turns into something personal. I can't quite put a finger on why that, there's got to be something else going on there.
Yeah.
It might be the anger with the pedophile stuff. Cause I've heard people just tell me like carte blanche, like, no, once that happened, no.
Yeah. But that happens freaking everywhere.
No, I'm
saying that to him, like in response, like. But I mean, okay, they didn't kick the last guy out for crimes against humanity, but you're going to have a bunch of people believing that Benedict was kicked out. Benedict resigned because he was old and couldn't deal with all the backstabbing in politics.
Yeah.
The new chair, okay, have you seen all the different chairs that the Pope sits in? It's just one example out of dozens of chairs. Every trip he goes on, they make a new chair.
Yeah.
And those are not solid gold. They're gold leaf. Yeah. You go and buy like a really nice, finely carved, mahogany or Brazilian rosewood chair, or you just take some regular oak chair and line it with gold leaf. You tell me which one's more expensive. I tell you for sure the rosewood and mahogany carved one's going to be more expensive than a gold leaf oak one, right? So again, this such mischaracterizations and such kind of like
douchebaggery.
I didn't say that
more
specifically.
Stories out of the last decade or so.
It's obnoxious behavior.
It is.
That's the definition of douchebaggery in the Webster Dictionary.
Is that the Webster Webster Dictionary definition?
Yeah. Obnoxious or contemptible behavior.
Oh, you actually looked up douchebaggery?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
that's
you're like,
awesome.
I don't know if I'd say it, so I looked it up just to show you. Like, it was perfect context.
So here's another one. Hold on. What's his name? What's that comedian? Bill
Burr.
Bill Burr.
B-U-R-R.
He's another one who's really, really anti-Catholic. Let's see what he has to say.
Not pissing off the invisible guy and wanting to go to the happy place and get to eat marshmallows for the rest of your fall eternity. That they are actually, it's disturbing that people can still be part of that religion. You know what I mean? I don't understand how, you know, the stuff that they've done. So, I would say, there's probably something going on. I don't know. Maybe he said something like, maybe we should apologize for having that clam bake with Adolf Hitler. Should we maybe clear the air with that one?
That's another thing they always like to say is that the church supported Hitler.
Yeah.
The church literally tried to have Hitler assassinated, by the way.
We actually don't help to pay for the lawyers of the people in our organization who put their heads. You know, maybe he said something like that. I have no idea. Anyways, he said, also, what are some of the ways that they could make the church more interesting? For example, maybe let broads become priests. I bet more people would pay attention. Or how about letting people sit in lazy boys instead of sitting and kneeling in those terrible rock-hard benches they call pews? I know, it's so dumb. The whole thing is to get you like you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Get on your knees. And it's all made up by human beings taking a guess and other adults because they get into it as kids. I don't know why. I actually know why, because I believe that there is like a spirituality and I believe that you feel good when you do good things. And I just think that you can't corral that. Nobody owns it. And you can't put a I think that all churches should just be philosophies.
Oh, what a modernist view. Like, just a philosophy. Don't have a backbone. Don't stand up for anything. Just kind of do what's good.
Let me do whatever I want.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what this, you know, the Western world's become, right? It's like, oh, you know, that's dumb. Okay, well, we'll have a church over here that does that.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're just pandering to people who are ignorant of the faith and don't understand, you know, any of the sacramental worship, the liturgy. Like, they don't understand any of that. They don't want to learn it.
Yeah.
All they want to do is critique it and be gods themselves.
And they also want to have, he just said, well, people feel good when they do good things and stuff like that. Yeah, of course. So he's like, we should just have a church that just does that. So you just want a selfish kind of click the check mark that I did something good. I feel good now. I don't have to do anything. Now I can go do whatever terrible things I do in my life or disordered things or immoral things.
Yeah, he shouldn't be starting a church.
No.
Lazy boys and like.
Yeah, and female
basically
priests.
Basically your comedy show.
Yeah, female priests, lazy boys. I mean, dude, just go to the Anglican church.
He's a funny guy too. I've never heard him talking about the
church.
Same
thing. Another guy who grew up Catholic and then is, you know, I think there's, well, a, you know, there's the thing family is, trauma.
I mean, that's Boston. That's like the epicenter of this stuff. And these guys were from there.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you're right. Yeah. Both these guys are from Boston. So they probably. I mean,
and they were living there when this was all going down. And, you know.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, I mean, it's sad. I mean, that's just, they're carrying something pretty profound.
Pretty heavy, yeah. Let's see what else he's got to say.
Rather than this hardened way of looking at things, just the amount of death that it has caused.
Death? Where?
I'm not saying anything new. You guys know how I feel in this. Finally, how about we liven up the music a bit and add some newer sounds, maybe a little guitar and drums? Well, what you need to do is go to a Baptist church. Go to a church where you don't see any white people going in there. That would be a good one to start with. And I bet you're amazing. You'll hear people who actually in those churches probably sing better than half the people who won Grammys that year.
I mean, they do have good musicians in Baptist churches. Oh, yeah.
Sticking their finger in an ear, trying to act like they know how to sing. And what's behind them all the time? It's always like three black chicks or two black chicks and some black dude. I mean, that's where the music is. That's where it's coming from. If that's what you want, just go there. They're not going to give a, right? They may look at you weird, but after a while, once they see you feeling the music, you should be fine.
So all you should get out of church is music?
I think that they should maybe update the stories.
Update the stories.
Maybe, just make up some new. Just say, oh, you know what? God came back again, and the burning bush said, let he who never illegally downloaded the song, just something to update it. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Just sounds like another angry guy.
Yeah. I mean, the last three words were great. I don't know. He doesn't know.
He's just mad about it. And a lot of these people are people who view themselves as very independent thinkers.
Good people.
They're good people. And I don't need anybody to tell me I'm a good person. I don't need anybody to tell me. I'm an independent-minded person. I don't need morality. I'm a good person on my own.
Yeah, it's kind of like jockeying inside of your conscience to make you...
The place of primacy in the world and the worldviews. And you're right. There's a lot of egotism to it. Yeah. There's a lot of self-assuredness. And there's a lot of deferral that they don't want this stuff to be true.
Yeah.
Because if it's true, that really challenges, I think, a lot of the spiritual acedia, the laziness with which they approach something so serious.
Yeah.
They can dismiss it out of hand. And it's easy to dismiss it out of hand and make a joke about it. Then besides actually validly and considerately looking at the facts, looking at the stories, looking at the historical records,
right,
looking at the theological and ontological proofs, looking at Aquinas. They wouldn't do any of that. They're just like, nah, you guys wear wizard robes, so you'd be stupid.
And you kill everybody.
You kill everybody.
Everybody that's ever died has been at the hands of a wizard.
Oh, my gosh, the Crusades
the
killed everyone. They're all dressed as wizards, and they were so high.
They were so high on TNT.
The only ones who were high was the Hashashins.
That should be the thumbnail for our video. Amalgamation of all these perspectives into one person.
Right. Oh man, like the wow. All right, we're gonna do one more clip, but before we do that, I would not recommend downloading any of these clips because these are mostly filled with shallow views, narrow views, uninformed views, and hurt views. But I would tell you a good thing to download is the number one Catholic prayer app, and that's Hollow. Mm. Hollow is a trusted resource for prayer. They've taken the best of technology and the rich patrimony of prayer practices within the church over 2,000 years and put it together in an app that anyone could use to increase their prayer life. I use this app every single day. I know you do too, Ryan.
Yep. Hollow. I mean, whichever one you want to go for there. I've used this increasingly in my life.
Yeah, increasingly.
Increasingly used it. Yeah. I am now on it a lot more than I was before.
Okay.
So it's just like, it's been such a blessing in my life that I look at the amount of time I spend on it. It's well over 12 hours a month.
Really? That's actually quite a bit.
12 to 14 hours a month. It's great.
Yeah. So if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/hollow, you can try this app out 100% free and see if it's something that works for you. So it's a prayer app that we use. It's number one prayer app in the world. Over 1 billion prayers have been said through this app. We really recommend you try it out. So let's finish this clip. I got one more. It's one more from Bill Barr. So,
okay.
I think the reason that it bothers me too, these two, because they're both very smart. They're both very influential. They're both guys that I kind of like.
I would say they're perceptive. I would not say intelligent.
they're not unintelligent.
They're not unintelligent. Okay,
perceptive, I'll grant that. But here's the thing. Like, I like these guys.
Yeah.
And it's like...
You want to like them.
I want to like them. Yeah. But when they say stuff like this, I'm like, this is just kind of dumb high school, very immature assessment of faith. It's very immature. This is the kind of stuff I heard when, you know, you're sitting around smoking weed with kids in high school. This is the same stuff.
But I'm friends with people that act like that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, they're good people. They're just, they've got this thing in their life. And you know what? If I can show them that I live a life that reflects what I believe, and you know, maybe that helps them. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Here's one last clip. This is another one. Bill Burr going to church.
I realize, man, I've been real empty lately. I never go to church, man. I gotta be honest. I hate church. Always couldn't stand it when I was growing up. Yeah, there's a couple other people going to hell with me. Yeah, there you go. No. There it is. I grew up Catholic. I used to sit there in the crowd, you know, listening to the priest. The priest, they were like preaching. They didn't even sound like they believed it. They'd just be up there. This is the gospel, according to Luke. All right? I'm not saying it happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen, all right? I'm just saying what Luke said. Now, according to Luke, the dude got out of the boat. He started walking across the water. I know, it sounded crazy to me. I don't know if he was a drinker. But, you know, don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating what Luke said. No, I definitely believe in a higher power, but I think when people just get too into religion, they get crazy. Like, I like people when they get so into it that they actually, like, argue, like, what color Jesus is. You know what I mean? Which is hilarious. That's, like, one of the most unholy things you could ever do, right? They'll sit there and be like, you know, Jesus, he's for everybody. Rich people, poor people, he doesn't care. He's just a great spirit. Everything's great. Well, yeah, what color is he? He's white. He looks ugly. We're the chosen people, you know? Or...
Doesn't matter what color Jesus was.
Some of my black friends...
That's funny comedy, though. Yeah.
That Jesus was black. And he had that nappy hair, all this stuff, you know? It's the dumbest thing to argue about. I really don't give a shit what color Jesus is. I just don't want him to be mad at me when he comes back. That's my deal. I don't care what he is. When he comes back in that seven-headed horse chopping people's heads off. What the hell is. I just want when he rides by me, you know, just give me one of these. Make me feel good about my life, you know?
Well, that was a lot different than the first one.
Yeah, that was. He's funny. He's a funny guy, and he's a clever and perceptive guy, but you can still hear the hurt in him. Well, I grew up Catholic.
Yeah, that was on a podcast where he's like, you know, getting into a lot more stuff. This is a comedy.
A bit, yeah.
Right, yeah, so like that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
I thought it was pretty funny.
But even then, it still betrays some of
Jesus.
It still betrays some of these very surface level analysis that people who think they're very clever do. Like, you know, Jesus wasn't white. You know that, right? That doesn't that destroy your worldview? Jesus wasn't white. Okay, so Jesus was Levantine. He probably looked Greek.
You try that on kids, man. If you want to do that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's very kind of like a very juvenile perception of religion, and then they through their influence are able to spread it, and that propagates, that gets embedded into people's minds. You
and
know?
It all really does boil down to like you're consuming information in a way that it was never consumed before.
Yeah. And now you have whole people doing their whole careers based on stuff. You have like that dude, Ricky Gervais, his whole shtick is I'm smarter than religion and I'm a smug asshole about it. And you're stupid for believing in religion. And that's his whole thing. And then people follow that vociferously and they base their worldview on these things that a comedian says.
Yeah.
But dude, if you're getting your theology from a comedian, don't be surprised when your theology is a joke, right? So
well said.
Thanks. That's part of my stand-up bit. So, you know, there's just a couple clips. And like I said, I like these guys, you know. And I think that they're guys who are having a societal impact, and they're clever, they're media savvy, they're funny.
Yeah.
And it pains me that in every other area they can either be perceptive, funny, they can be for the good, you know, whether it's societally, whether it's for, you know, equity, whether it's for just relationships between people. But when it comes to the church, they have this blind spot.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always heard that comedians often are very hurt people, and they use comedy to make up for their hurt. So I think maybe that's not a surprise that these hurt people are so anti-religion.
Yeah, that's a broad stroke. You know, some people are just funny. Yeah. But I mean, you're right. And if you look at their body of work, I would say it's such a very small percentage of the things that they talk about.
Sure.
But when they do talk about it, it opens
it's
up.
It's so out of character for
it's
them.
It's out of character. It's something needs to be said. It is a self-righteous sort of like high spot in their life where mm-hmm. they can condemn,
yeah,
you know, the sinners and the people that are dancing around with wizard shirts on.
Well, Wizard, I think that kind of wraps it up for this episode.
It does.
Now, before we go, I want to remind everyone, you can go to CatholicTalkShow.com. There you can subscribe to us on every platform, all the social media platforms. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you go ahead and click that like, share, and subscribe button right now. That really helps when you participate that way because it helps us reach more people. Again, visit our sponsor, Hollow, by going to CatholicTalkShow.com/Hollow, and you can download that number one Catholic prayer app for free. And then finally, if you go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Patreon, again, you could support us financially and help us continue to grow the show. There's a lot of different tiers, things for every size budget, and we have a lot of great gifts in our gratitude. So again, I want to thank you for being here with us this week, and hopefully you got a laugh. Hopefully Kyle didn't have to work that beat button too much. Kyle, I know he had to do a lot of working on the beat button, so thank you, Kyle, for that. But yeah. You know, this is a fun episode. I enjoyed this, but I think maybe when you're consuming media is going to inherently have a lot of anti-religion in today's day and age and a lot of anti-Catholicism. So take it all with a grain of salt, you know, take it all with a discerning eye that these people are trying to get a reaction. Mm-hmm. They're trying to say something incendiary, and do your own research on this stuff, right? And do your own research onto what religion actually does and purports to say.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week for another episode.